It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, after giving countless speeches and holding a lot of rallies, the presidential candidates' voices don't sound crystal clear anymore. A speech pathologist tells us why some candidates' voices are more hoarse than others.
First, all eyes were on Wisconsin yesterday as primary voters went to the polls to cast their ballots for president.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz outperformed GOP frontrunner Donald Trump, and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders beat Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton.
And as the field narrows, Ohio Governor John Kasich is still campaigning despite a poor showing in Wisconsin and his fellow GOP candidates demanding that he exit the race.
So how does Wisconsin compare to the rest of the country's electorate? And will last night's primary change the magical, maybe mythical, momentum for the candidates?
Joining us now to talk about yesterday's primary is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week to talk politics. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
So we had a primary. It's been a while. The next one's not for a couple of weeks. So what are the big takeaways from last night?
I think the biggest takeaway is probably that Ted Cruz broke through. It's not just that he beat Donald Trump. I think that, you know, for a while we knew Trump was going to be weak in Wisconsin based upon the Marquette polls that have been coming out showing him at only around 30% of the vote, but that Ted Cruz came close to getting 50% of the vote, and John Kasich basically fell through the floor, which seems to indicate if that type of result is replicated in future states where Kasich voters decide, you know what, we want to stop Donald Trump, and the only way to stop Donald Trump is by voting for Ted Cruz. If you get the consolidation of the anti-Trump vote with Ted Cruz, then there's a real shot of ensuring that Donald Trump doesn't get the necessary 1,237 delegates going into the Republican National Convention.
And Ted Cruz, in his victory speech last night, had this to say.
Wisconsin was a perfect state for Donald Trump. But the hardworking men and women of Wisconsin stood and campaigned tirelessly to make sure that tonight was a victory for every American.
So, yeah, Wisconsin did not turn out to be Trump country. Why not? What is the thinking about why last night shook out the way it did?
Well, there are a couple of theories as to why it didn't. I mean, the number one theory is obviously, or the number one fact is that Donald Trump was very unpopular, so ergo, he didn't get that many votes. But what it really comes down to is that Trump has tended to do better among voters who used to perhaps be described as white ethnic voters, that is, Europeans who are not of Northwest European ancestry. And obviously, Wisconsin has a lot of people of German descent, Dutch descent, and those types of voters have traditionally not been Donald Trump's strong suit. So you could look in Iowa, for instance, where Donald Trump didn't do particularly well, or you can look in Minnesota, where Donald Trump didn't do particularly well. And Wisconsin looks demographically a lot like that. That's going to be very different than the states that we have coming up to vote later on. But again, it's not what I take away isn't so much that Donald Trump did poorly, it's that Ted Cruz did so well.
Well, you've also got, it seems as though when Trump entered Wisconsin in the lead up to the primary, Wisconsin was a little hostile to him, that the radio shows were not friendly. There was a Never Trump movement with some of the radio hosts in southeastern Wisconsin. There was Governor Scott Walker declaring not for Donald Trump, but for Ted Cruz. Did that make a difference?
I think so. At least the Walker endorsement, I think, you know, there was a real rallying behind Ted Cruz, the recognition that if you're going to put your money behind one horse, then it had to be Cruz. You could not afford there to be a splintering of the anti-Trump vote. And that, I think, was the key in this, was that we just saw Ted Cruz picking up more and more and more support, and Kasich even underperforming his final polls. I mean, there was some thought that John Kasich might be able to do half decently around Madison, and while that certainly was his best part of the state, Ted Cruz even won there. There was a recognition, if we don't like Donald Trump, we have to vote for Ted Cruz. As for the conservative talk radio, I think that, of course, that probably played some role. Obviously, Cruz did best in the southeastern part of the state where conservative talk radio, the local conservative talk radio, is mostly heard. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure that it played all that big a role in keeping Trump down, but it did expose him. I mean, the interview he gave to Charlie Sykes was not a particularly illuminating one, except insofar to ensure voters that Donald Trump often doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, it's been a little while since Marco Rubio dropped out. Not that long, though. Do we know who picked up Rubio support based on the numbers that we saw yesterday in Wisconsin?
Sure. I mean, you know, the one thing that Wisconsin had going for it that no other primary had before it was that Marco Rubio was not a player in it. For instance, even though Rubio had dropped out by Arizona, most of the votes were cast early, and a lot of votes, Marco Rubio still got about 11% of the vote. And then the only other real contest that evening was Utah, which is, you know, obviously where the majority of the Republican electorate is Mormon and have always been against Trump. So this was the first real test of seeing where that Rubio support would go. And basically, it seems like it pretty much all went to Ted Cruz. We don't have a particular survey about that of, you know, of people who formerly had supported Marco Rubio, who they were going to vote for. But if you just look at where Trump was in the polls prior to Rubio dropping out, and you look where Cruz was in the polls prior to Marco Rubio going out, it doesn't take a genius to connect the two and realize that most of the people who are probably voicing support for Marco Rubio decided instead to cast their lot with Ted Cruz.
We're talking about Wisconsin's primary results yesterday with Harry Enten from 538. And Harry, Donald Trump also seemed to have a rough week campaign-wise in Wisconsin. He angered people on both sides of the abortion debate. There was some dust up about the retweeting of a picture of Heidi Cruz that was unflattering. Is this proof now that maybe he is going to be subject to the same laws of political gravity as everybody else? Because so far he's been defying those.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, it did show that Trump, it can be criticized and that Trump can have a bad week. But again, he still came in with 35% of the vote, which is about where he was polling. I think the average of polls in the 21 days leading up to the primary was something Trump getting about 34%. So he basically hit exactly where he was polling, which is pretty much what he's done this entire time. He hits exactly what he's been polling, and then he usually gets no more in most primary contests. But I think what was so key isn't just that Trump, you know, was hit and he got only his 35%, but that it really gives hope to the anti-Trump movement or the never-Trump movement. And that's key because what often happens, the way that primaries wrap up is people run out of money. So if you go back 4 years ago, you know, Mitt Romney was not running away with anything. But then after Wisconsin, even though he barely won it, the money pretty much dried up for Rick Santorum, and then Romney went his merry way. Here, the exact opposite happened. Ted Cruz won it easily, and the money is going to flow into him. And so to me, this is just the primary continues on. Donald Trump continues to get his 35 to 40% of the vote, which is good enough in a multi-candidate field. But when you're down to only three candidates and one candidate in particular is the anti- or never-Trump candidate, that 35 to 40%, which may have been good enough in prior primaries, may not be so going forward.
So was last night, was it a pivot point in the race or maybe a reset for the Cruz campaign or the Bernie Sanders campaign for that matter? Was it a meaningful night?
I mean, it was meaningful. We'll take the Republican side first. I think it was meaningful in the sense that it shows that voters may be able to vote strategically. Ted Cruz actually did slightly better in the exit polls than John Kasich did among moderate voters. That is very unusual. Ted Cruz is used to getting about 5 to maybe 15% of self-described moderate voters. He got nearly 30% last night. If that continues into the Northeast primaries, where there are a lot more moderate voters than there are in other parts of the country, then that could be very, very good news. So I guess maybe it's a pivot point in that sort of way, but I wouldn't read, you know, let's not make too much out of it. As for the Democrats, I mean, look, Bernie Sanders had a very good night. I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. He won by, what, about 13 percentage points. He did better than all the polls indicated. But again, he's still well behind in the delegate count. He only netted 10 delegates. He's still over 200 pledged delegates behind. And Wisconsin, for being a lovely state, you know, one thing it doesn't really have is a lot of African-American voters. They only made about 10% of the Democratic electorate. Let's see if Bernie Sanders can continue this success going to the northeastern states, which tend to be a lot more diverse.
Now, Bernie Sanders was expected to win, judging by the polls, but, I mean, the victory margins, does it tell you anything about where we are in this race?
I mean, it tells us that Bernie Sanders isn't going anywhere. I mean, if Hillary Clinton's campaign was hoping that Bernie Sanders was going to say adios, amigos, goodbye, that's not going to happen. Bernie Sanders is going to continue to fight, and his voters clearly want this fight to continue, and he's gotten about 42% of the national primary vote so far, and while that's not good enough to win, unless he improves upon it, it's good enough to continue fighting. And so I think that what the message was that Wisconsin Democrats sent last night was we want this battle to continue to go into the Northeast. And Bernie Sanders better hope he performs better in the Northeast than the polls are indicating at this point. But I'm sure his supporters would tell you, hey, we did better than the polls were in Wisconsin, so why can't we do it in places like New York, Pennsylvania, and Maryland?
We're looking at last night's Wisconsin primary with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Why do you think Cruz and Sanders won in their respective races in Wisconsin yesterday? Who did you support? Did you make up your mind at the last minute? What swayed your decision? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard, and we're continuing our conversation with Harry Enten about yesterday's Wisconsin presidential primary. Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders won at the polls, and each of the candidates are looking ahead to primaries in New York and Pennsylvania.
And we want to hear what you think. Why do you think turnout in Wisconsin was high for a spring election yesterday? Who do you think did a better job making their case to Wisconsin? On the Republican side, are you hoping for a nomination for Trump, Cruz, or a player to be named later? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We've got Ken on the line in Janesville. Hi.
Hello. You know, what I have not heard all day is the reason Cruz won instead of Trump is because Wisconsin is politically and civically more evolved than to go backwards. We know a snake oil salesman when we see him.
Kenneth, thank you for the call. You've got a Cruz supporter there, not looking for Trump. 47% turnout yesterday, too, by the way, Harry. I'm sure you've seen that. Does Wisconsin stand out to you in that aspect?
I mean, yeah, the turnout was incredible for a primary. You know, we're not used to seeing this type of turnout, even though, you know, usually we've seen higher turnout this entire primary season. This Wisconsin was very unusual in that facet. And indeed, I would say, you know, what Wisconsin has that is kind of different than a lot of other states is voters are not angry. At least Republican voters aren't that angry. They have seen the conservative movement do very well in that state, led by Scott Walker. They understand ideology. They're not upset with their party. And I think that's what the caller was kind of getting at, is that there's a very well-evolved conservative movement in the state versus the states that are coming up, you know, New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland. New York and Maryland especially are not exactly known for their healthy Republican primaries, which is probably why Donald Trump will do reasonably well there.
I want to talk a little bit more about the Democrats now. And let's talk about Hillary Clinton, because I've seen what happened last night framed in a couple of different ways. One is that it's pretty much what you said, Harry, that Wisconsin is not the most diverse place. Hillary Clinton does well with Latinos and African Americans, and she's going to be stronger out east. I've also heard that, look at Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton's campaign is in disarray and they've got some ground to make up. How do you see it?
I mean, look, Hillary Clinton continues to lead in the pledged delegate count by over 200 pledged delegates. It's very difficult to make up that ground because all of the delegates are awarded proportionally in the Democratic primaries. I mean, would Hillary Clinton had preferred to have won last night or done better? I'm sure she did, would have. But if you go back to, say, March 15th, and you were looking forward on the primary calendar at the caucuses and primaries that were coming up, I saw one tweet from a friend of mine, a pretty smart political guy, who basically said, look, Hillary Clinton's probably going to lose 7 out of the 8 next caucuses and primaries, and you know what? She has. It's a game of demographics, and while momentum could or could not make a play, Bernie Sanders better hope it does, because, as I said, the states that are coming up voting later this month are much more diverse. They are states where Hillary Clinton should do well. And if Bernie Sanders were to come into New York and win here, then I think the disarray, Hillary Clinton's in disarray, that's going to get a lot of play. And that's going to make a lot of people raise their heads up and go, what's going on? But merely losing Wisconsin, while perhaps a warning sign for Clinton, is not the be-all, end-all and is not a siren going off.
Well, let's talk about Bernie Sanders in New York, because he is starting to be active on the ground in New York. He had a conversation with the New York Daily News, and it didn't go very well in terms of the way it's been framed. And what some people are seeing in that conversation, seeing a candidate who's coming across in some aspects as perhaps underprepared on things like foreign policy and even his own main platform about breaking up the big banks. Can you tell us about that interview and what sort of greeting he might get from the New York media?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I've lived in New York pretty much my entire life. I think my accent kind of gives that away. And while we are nice people, I'd like to think I'm a nice guy, you better know what you're talking about when you come here. And if you don't, we'll let you know it. That interview that he gave, I think even the most pro-Sanders supporter would agree was not a particularly good one. It wasn't just that he came across as ill-prepared. In New York City, if you're doing an interview with the New York Daily News, which has made a crusade out of being anti-gun, being pro-gun control, you cannot say that you're not willing to sue gun manufacturers. And in New York City, the metropolitan area, we are not very far from Newtown, Connecticut, which unfortunately had that great gun murder massacre a few years ago. That type of stance just simply will not fly. And so it's not just that Bernie Sanders came across as poor to the New York City media. He also came across poor to those in Connecticut. And remember, Connecticut's a state that votes a week after New York. And simply put, Bernie Sanders is going to do probably better here than we thought he was going to 6 months ago, but he still trails in most of the polls, and in pretty much all the polls he trails by double digits or more. That type of interview is just not going to fly here.
Let's go back to our phones as we talk to Harry Enten, senior writer for 538. We're taking in last night's primary results, and we'll go next to Eric joining us in Janesville. Eric, hi.
Good morning, or good afternoon. I was wondering if you had seen, I was watching the coverage on CNN last night, and despite the fact that they continued to refer to us as Wisconsin, I forgave them and listened anyway. They had done a survey among Democratic and Republican voters of the various candidates as it, what their feeling would be were they president. And I hope that you had seen this. If not, maybe we can find it. Among Democratic voters, generally people very optimistic about the prospects of a Sanders presidency, less so about Hillary Clinton. Among Republican voters, obviously people enthusiastic about Cruz. But the thing that I found very interesting was that a huge percentage, something like 58%, had a very unfavorable, I don't want to use the word frightened because I don't remember what the categories were, view of a Trump presidency, and this is among Republican voters. So, you know, clearly there's something to the tactic that they put together, which is pretty much anybody but Trump. But I'm wondering if you had seen that and if you had any more to comment on.
Got it. Eric, thank you so much for that. And Harry, do you want to comment on, have you seen what Eric's talking
about?
Yeah,
I understand what he's talking about. I did see those numbers. I believe it was scared was what was the term, frightened, scared, same side of the coin. Yeah. Needless to say, the Democrats are much happier with their options right now than Republicans are. And obviously, Bernie Sanders won in Wisconsin, so it's not a huge surprise that Wisconsin Democrats see him more favorably than they do Hillary Clinton. Although compared to the Republican side, poll after poll shows that more Democrats would be happy with either one of their two candidates left remaining, while on the Republican side, it's much more divided. Trump voters don't really like Cruz. Cruz voters don't really like Trump. And Kasich voters, the few that they are, don't really like Trump either. That's a problem. That's obviously a big problem going forward, as Republicans eventually will have to coalesce around somebody, whether it be one of the three right now or in a contested convention, somebody new. But I think the exit poll also gets at a very important point, which is that we have seen Donald Trump win primary after primary after primary with 40% of the vote or less. In only a few cases has he gotten above that. And a lot of people are like, oh, he's winning, he's going to coalesce it eventually. You know, some of these people who are voting for other candidates that aren't Cruz will get around Trump. He won't win. Cruz won't win all of the people who are voting for those other candidates. But so far, that hasn't really borne out. And I'm just not sure going forward how well Trump will do in these primaries, given that if you see that same coalescing of the vote, Republican voters, simply put, they may, a large number may be voting for Trump, but an even larger number seem to be coming out against him.
And Harry, I want to talk about momentum. Bernie Sanders has something to say about it.
momentum is starting the campaign 60 to 70 points behind Secretary Clinton. Momentum is that within the last couple of weeks, there have been national polls which have had us 1 point up or 1 point down.
Momentum, that magical word in politics. Does anybody have it right now? Can anybody lay claim to genuine momentum?
Until a candidate wins a state that they're not supposed to win, I'm not sure that they can. I mean, if you look, for instance, at, you know, Hillary Clinton's numbers going back in the Marquette Law School poll going back to, you know, August, I see a 44, a 42, a 50, a 45. You know, these are the types of numbers that she was getting. She was mostly getting in mid-40s, which is basically where she ended up with last night. It was just that Sanders gathered all the other supporters. And if you look at the national polls, look at the Real Clear Politics average, it's been about the same gap for about a month now. Yes, Sanders does lead in a few polls, but there are more polls that he doesn't lead in. If you want real sign of momentum, go into New York if you're Bernie Sanders, and even if you don't win, come very close to winning. And then maybe that's real momentum. Before that, it's really about demographics.
Harry, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.
Coming up after the news, a hoarse voice comes with the territory of running for president. We'll talk to a speech pathologist. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.